A fighting fury, we're from Tigerland. In any weather you will see us with a grin, risking head and skin. If we're behind, then never mind, we'll fight and fight and win. For we're from Tigerland. We never weaken till the final siren's gone.
We got the 4 points, folks. We got the 4 points. It looked ugly. It was shit-ass, but we got the 4 points, and it's double the wins from last year. So happy days. Everyone walks away a winner except for Essendon, and probably except for Carlton as well. They never walk away winners, or North Melbourne for that matter. I think we were one of only two Victorian sides to win on the weekend. I think that was a stat at some point in time. But no, very exciting to just to get the 4 points. No, don't worry about the name of game DVD. We're not going to worry about ordering that in the future or have that as a prize or anything like that.
I ordered 10 of them.
You ordered 10? gosh, we might not hit the MOQs to have them mad, I don't reckon, if we only ordered 10. But good evening, gentlemen. We've got a full house tonight. CB, how are you, mate? Loving the jacket.
Good, mate. Just goes to show you, Tigers have a win, mate, and all of a sudden the bandwagon's full in today. Everybody's jumping on to get their ugly mugs on the screen.
You want to talk?
But very quickly, we'll just say it off air. For those who don't, for the oldies, it's actually the 40th anniversary of Live Aid over the last 24 hours. So if you want to feel a bit older, some of you old folks, that is a landmark gig. And I highly recommend on the Queen YouTube page for 24 hours, they've stuck the thing up there. And yeah, play it loud and watch that. If you want to see one of the all-time great live performances, watch Queen at Live Aid.
Awesome set it was. Awesome set. EJ, welcome, mate. You could actually jump on the piano and go full Freddie Mercury and start busting out some tunes.
I'll do some Rocket Man. We finally win a game, and this clown up here is talking about Live Aid. Come on, man. Yeah,
straight off the bat. That's the first thing he goes with. EJ, I reckon you need to drop him in it for what happened in the votes message as well, on a live show later on if you wish to. I think that needs to be addressed.
Are we talking about the messages from yesterday and today?
The spelling.
Oh, yes, actually. No, very good. Very good. Yes, no.
We'll bring that up after.
Yeah. I'll just write that down.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Grok, how are you, mate? Good to see you.
I'm going well, mate. What a weekend. How good were the results? Collingwood lose, Geelong lose, Carlton lose, North lose, and Essendon lose, and we win. Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
The only thing that actually maybe stuffed the weekend was St Kilda botching their game. That would have topped it off, I reckon, if they had managed to win that one.
Yeah. But still, anytime Geelong lose and we win, fantastic down my way. Absolutely
all
fantastic.
Quiet down there, Grok, is it? Everyone's just shut up shop for a little bit.
Yep, all quiet on the Western Front down here. It's all good.
Very good, very good. Now, it's good to have everyone back on board. Do we want to roll into the AFL first? We'll do the AFL first. We had a win. It's something exciting to talk about, and I think we usually try and push it to the end of the queue because it's usually not flash results, and whilst it wasn't flash to watch, it was the result we wanted. So the Tigers got the result, got the 4 points, 6-10, 46 to 4-13, 37. That's the full-time score, folks, the full-time score, winning by 9 points. Where do you want to start, gents? I know CB and EJ, you were talking about something you wanted to mention straight off the top. So maybe let's start there and see where things roll.
Do you want to take the new ball, EJ, or shall I?
No, you can take it. You look sharp.
Thank you. Right. So let's talk about Adam Uzay and the criticism he receives from our supporter base. Not really from external, just our supporter base. What people have got to understand, and for the ones who are at the game, like Michael's, that they will justify this. Do people realise that Adam Uze actually outcoached Brad Scott on Saturday night? So everyone goes, oh, ugly game, terrible to watch. Yeah, okay. Granted, it was horrendous. Like, it was bad. But Adam Uze and the senior players adjusted. The first quarter was a shootout and we were matching it.
Who made the game ugly, CB?
Brad Scott made the game ugly by sitting two or three blokes behind the ball. So if we had a mindlessly blazed forward and kicked it to 1-on-3, Adam Uze would have been considered the biggest moron for not changing anything. He changes it up. We hold up our play for quarters two and three. I'm not saying it was great, but he actually coached to win the game. So I don't know what people want. Do you want the 4 points and whatever it takes to get the 4 points? Or do you want to look pretty and get done by six goals against a team that you should beat? So Uze, credit to him, actually did the job he's paid to do, which was coach and get a win for the boys. EJ, boys, the floor.
Now, not only, right, not only did he throw, so the first quarter, right, you talk about the coaching and about us bombing it in. Even though we played okay in the first quarter and we probably stuffed some opportunities up, there was a lot of intercept possessions in the first quarter. We got chopped off quite a bit, right? So even if he hadn't have stuck two behind the ball, I think we would have made an adjustment anyway. But I know Essendon have in. Am I allowed to say it in this context?
Yes.
Right. The curse is done. It hasn't helped us at all. Just say okay.
I know Essendon have injuries, right? I know that. But you're playing against Richmond and your season's cooked, all right? What possible positives can you get by sticking two behind the ball against Richmond after one quarter where it doesn't work out? What positives can you get for the Essendon Football Club by doing that?
Yeah, it was crazy to see. And, like, I was getting frustrated at the lack of, I suppose, breaking the line movement from us after the second quarter. But the more I'm watching, I'm like, they can't actually do it. So I actually thought, to see Beast Point, I felt like the players actually adjusted really well on the fly, because Essendon wanted us to kick it to those that 2v1 or 3v1 so they could springboard and go back the other way. And I think the other thing I will say, though, that whilst what we did was fine, I still think there's an element of our players, our forwards in particular, just due to the inexperience and whatnot, don't have that anticipation level right yet to know when to bolt off into that space to be there for that kick. And that will come with time. But the fact that they were actually smart enough to hold on to it, whilst it looked ugly and it looked disjointed, it actually had to happen. I think they all made the right calls, Grock. It just optically wasn't a great look.
Now, that first quarter, our inside 50 delivery was the worst I've seen for quite a while. We played like Lynch was still parked in the goal square.
I've got a video coming out on that tomorrow. I've got three examples where we could have actually taken three uncontested marks inside 50 had we picked a better option. So yep. We did shoot ourselves in the foot quite a few times.
I mean, our first four inside 50s all hit the chest of unmarked Essendon defenders. Like, with no one within 5 or 6 metres of them. It was just, again...
Hey, that's going to 100%.
But, yeah, it was poor delivery. It was poor execution. It was also poor from the forwards, not reading the ball and everything. But what after quarter time, the way that we actually lowered our eyes and put it wide, rather than going to the top of the goal square to actually get it chopped off and allow Essendon to go through the middle, we started pushing out wide and hitting the targets there and lowering, which was nice. And obviously we kicked 10 behinds. If we had a kick straight, Andy McGrath wouldn't have had a kick all night. He was lucky we kicked the 10 behinds.
Guess so, fair play,
yeah. So fair play to the forwards on doing a job on McGrath.
But look what happened, Grock. Look what happened when the game had to be won and all of a sudden Scott had to make moves to win the game in the last quarter. We smoked him.
Yeah, we were just seeing in the last quarter, we just seemed more desperate for the ball. Like, we just seemed to want to compete harder for it when it was there to be won. Essendon, I think, no doubt Martin going down was a big blow for them. They lost a lot of run on the outside from the wing and half back. So that stifled them. But it was just the competitiveness of our players. I mean, first game, Taj Houghton setting the standard with his just repeat efforts and the sneaky little handballs, you know, out of traffic and everything. That goal that he kicked, the mark that he took, it just raised. You could just see the boys lifting after those key moments. Some players sort of didn't have great games. Cozzy in particular had a really dirty night. But again, I think all around our back line held up really well, and that was where it was really won. It was the midfield contest in the back line.
Yep. So just on Houghton quickly, the two efforts I think specifically you're referencing on the ground One of them, first of all, he shows amazing desperation, which is what you want, right?
Yeah.
One of them, he dives on the ground and spins and handballs in the one motion.
Yeah.
But the other one, it was so clever. He saw the person on the other side of the contest and he dived in and made no effort to take the ball but just punch it through to the other side.
Yep.
So amazing IQ first game, because your first game you think might, oh, I've got to get the ball, I've got to do that. No, he just knocked it out into space where he saw that Richmond player, and I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah,
But only 50% game time, yeah? Saturday night?
Yeah, limited games, 56% game time. So the impact that he had, and even that other one on the boundary line late in the game where he sort of paddled along the boundary line, worked around his player, got it to Trezise, so then hit up Jonty Fall. Just doesn't give up. Like a lot of players would have let that go out of bounds, have a stoppage, reset, but he wanted to keep the ball alive. And when he gets a bit stronger, he'll burst past a few more of those players. And he had that even that handball over his head in the middle where he grabbed it, jumped up, got tackled and released over his head, which was very, like, I don't like comparing, but it was very Shane Edwards-like. I think a lot of people at the ground would have felt the same way, no doubt. But yeah, he was super. And look, I would have loved to have seen him play more than 56%, but he was blowing up a bit at the end, I reckon. So it was probably well managed, and that's only going to improve as the weeks go on. But we had the back line mentioned earlier. What more could the back line do? They've been such a saving grace for us in a lot of games. Welcome TNT as well, by the way. Tyler Young, gents, first game back at AFL level, I thought he and Miller partnered exceptionally well. And I know that Essendon has their injuries, but they don't have injuries to their two big key forwards who are still very dangerous in their own right. So they still had a big task ahead of them. And I thought they handled it well, CB.
Yeah, well, like I said, Tyler Young, I guess the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we've come across, three of the top five teams in the AFL. Now we've come against a lesser. So it was a good game for him to come into. But just showed his worth to the club. And I thought fantastic inclusion. And Miller, again, he's having a great season. He's having a really, really good season. So the defensive half was terrific. And Jaden Short and Banksy worked well together. So, yeah.
Pleasing thing for me was my one critique on Miller has been his inability to pull the trigger, and he pulled off a couple of absolutely ripping kicks.
Yeah. That one with Sims, that was a laser.
You know, so that was, for me, that's a massive, massive difference in his game. He's been defensively solid all year, but that was something else.
I thought Tyler Young did a fantastic job on Caddy. Again, to use the phrase, won't need a shower after the bath that he got. I thought, Young was fantastic. That Essendon's forward line were very much like ours. Like, it was very makeshift. Obviously, they've had a few players out. So Caddy's really been the one that they've relied on heavily. And for a second or third year forward, was always going to struggle. But Young's first game back at AFL level for, 18 months, I thought he was absolutely brilliant. Our whole back line really stood up, which was pleasing to see, especially for Tigger's 250th. You can't have expected more. That they played how Tigger did, tough, composed. Like, it was, well, I say composed, it wasn't, but I thought the defenders did really, really well. It was where the game was won for us. Like, Essendon had just no way through. The shots that we gave up for them were, weren't easy shots either. So yeah, credit to the back line.
He's not, Michaels, he's not in the running shoot, but I just want to mention Jonty Fall. Currently right now, he's statistically better than Cadman of GWS at the same stage with his numbers.
Is this in terms of shots on goal in particular?
Everything.
Okay.
Marks, you name it. So this kid is coming along a treat. So, yeah, unfortunately, he's missing some shots that we'd hope he'd get, but he's actually getting the ball and he's getting the shots. And if his hands at the moment, he's two grabbing a couple here and there. But overall, the kid is coming along very, very well, Tigers. We've got an absolute beauty in Jonty. Yeah, Grock probably stole your boy there.
Yeah, he did. I did a comparison because a couple of people were potting him, saying that he's been disappointing and everything on his thread on Bigfooty. And I did a comparison, and his stats stack up almost identically to Jack Riewoldt's in his first year. Yeah. The only difference is Jonty's got a couple more inside 50s, obviously, because he's pushing up the ground more than what Jack did when we had Richo for his first year. And Jack obviously had a couple more tackles. But we know how Jack turned out, and Jonty's going to be the same way. For his work rate for a first-year key forward is freakish. Like, yeah. I can't think of another first-year key forward who is raw and underdeveloped, who's had no preseason whatsoever because of injuries and everything like that, to be able to put the work rate that he's doing to compete, bringing the ball to ground, and even his second efforts when the ball is on the ground, it's freakish. I don't see how anyone can say that, you know, he's been disappointing when one of the biggest criticisms that we've had that our key forwards, our second and third talls, have had no, you know, aggression, no competitiveness or anything. We've now brought in three that compete and fight like hell. For a shout out for me, McIntosh, I thought his just defensive efforts and everything when the game was on the line, he was absolutely massive.
And he's everywhere.
You know, he's had a good game when no one on Bigfooty is potting him this week.
I thought, to me, that sort of looked very much like a game of him. He really wanted to get that done for Vlosten. You could tell it meant a bit to him. Just his last-ditch efforts and deep in the back line too were really good. Just quickly to go back to Fall, loved his goal at the end. What that will do for his confidence will be massive. To kick a clutch goal like that, like to finish off a good bit of play and to really secure the win, hopefully it'll come. But I think ultimately, if he keeps working as hard as he's working, the scoreboard score will start ticking over naturally for him. I've been impressed that he's had as much impact as he's had as a first year player playing the role that he's playing. I think it's, I don't think you see it too often. Maybe I'm a bit close minded, but I just don't think you see it too often.
Just the other Jay Tiger, he's trying to defend the thing on Cabin. Mate, it's the numbers are comparable. It's games versus games in the first year. I don't know what your point is. If you didn't play the first half, not a fair comparison. First year player playing a half of football, does it really matter?
Can I just say he flushed it?
He did. Well, he flushed the one from 65 too, and he's going to nail one of those one day, and it's going to be epic.
Weapon like that, you can just hit it up.
He marks it at 55 and just walks back to have the shot. He's like, yeah,
You don't need to have Banks or Short run and pass for the thing. Just load it up.
Just smash it through. EJ, I want to mention Tom Brown. I felt like he had a bit of a, stink is not the word, but he was a little bit below par with his disposal early on in the game. Missed a few that he would have liked to have taken back. But what I did love is that it didn't deter him from still taking off the dangerous kicks as the game went on. And there was two kicks in particular in the last quarter where he bananaed one out of the back line to hit Tash Houghton on the wing and then snapped one across the face of goal on the left foot to hit Trezise exiting defensive 50. That were both extraordinarily bold kicks that were needed, and it took a lot of courage to execute after maybe missing some earlier targets. I thought he did well to step up in those moments.
Yeah, and that's what I know I harp on about it a bit, but that's where I talk about the players that are prepared to make the decision and pull the trigger. If they didn't work out, it would have been disappointing and there'd be people taking pot shots or whatever. But given where we are in our development, to see the players with the confidence to do that, even because I think he ended up going at about 65% maybe.
Yeah, but he was the lowest out of the backman. Yeah.
Right. But early on, it would have been 30% probably, right? To have the confidence to still pull the trigger after not doing so well early. Yep, fantastic.
He was pretty good. You mentioned Uze at the start, CB. The one move that I don't think a lot of people are talking about is the move to put Jack Ross on the Zach Merritt after halftime. So Zach Merritt in the first half was everywhere and smashing us. So I'm like, holy shit, it's happening again. And then after halftime, they made the move, and I think he had about 11 disposals for the rest of the game, which is an extraordinary effort for Jack, like for anyone, but Jack Ross, it's a super effort. And he was tagging him to the point where Zach Merritt was like slowly walking off the ground, trying to cause a mismatch or hoping that Ross would run off ahead of him. And Ross was literally by his side every single step of the way and would not budge. And like, good, like, he's executed the role perfectly.
So it begs the question, why wouldn't we do that against the number one on baller, just like Essendon doing with Setterfield? Why wouldn't we do that to the opposition's best ball carrier every week to give ourselves a chance to get it out of the middle? Just saying.
And I think it's worthwhile doing it because Ross can actually work off the player as well. Like he can still find his own ball, but if he's tagging a Merritt or a Cripps or whatever, then they're going to keep leading him to the footy more and more. And I think it's only going to be beneficial for his game too. So I'm all for it. If that's what he's got to do, then so be it. I actually thought he did it really, really well. That's a big tick for me. Jaden Short, gents. Grock, I'll go through to you. Jaden Short, first game back in the AFL, had the one game in the VFL where he got 29 touches. I thought we saw the Jaden Short we all wanted to see.
Yeah, I think he's needed that break. His last 18 months, he hasn't really been great. He's had some solid games without really tearing one apart or contributing in a really positive way. There have been a lot of like hesitation on his kicks. They've lacked penetration. He hasn't gone quick enough. He hasn't broken lines like he used to do. And granted, he is getting on. But yeah, what we saw on Saturday night, that was one of his best games in probably the last 2.5 years. Wound back the clock a little bit. And I suppose that comes from the confidence of knowing that your back line is holding up with the amount of inside 50s that Essendon were getting for the middle patch of that game, and knowing that the ball was coming out relatively easy. Essendon's forwards didn't really pressure all that much, which I think Shorty appreciated a little bit, had a bit more time to use the ball well, and he did. That's what we expect from him as a leader of the club, and that's got to be where his baseline is now, especially with some of the younger players coming through. He's one of the players that I don't think can really afford to have a few poor games coming in, especially with the way that the list is going now. He's thereabouts in terms of like best 25, maybe not best 22, guaranteed next year, I reckon.
And EJ, Luke Traynor, thank God, got a Rising Star nomination this week, which I think, as we said off air, probably wasn't his best game. It was a good game, wasn't his best game. There was probably some others in the round that performed really well, but he still deserves it on the body of work. What did you make of his game and Uze's willingness to utilise him in different parts of the ground again?
I thought he was serviceable. You know, obviously got the highlight with the one-handed mark, which was pretty cool, but it was nowhere near his best game for the year. He was serviceable. He was okay. And of all the weeks to get the Rising Star for body of work, this week was one of his weaker weeks in that regard. But it is amazing what happens when a team has a win. He has been outstanding.
Yeah, I know.
Right, he's been outstanding in some losses, like over 20 possessions, good disposal efficiency, intercepts and all that sort of stuff, and got nothing. And what did he have, 15, 16, I don't know, not many, right? He was okay. I'm really pleased he's got the Rising Star nomination that he deserved 10 weeks ago, but he didn't deserve this week.
I wonder if it's weighted in towards winning a game adds bonus points or something. I'm not sure. Because you're right, he's definitely played better games in some of the losses we've had in rounds where other youngsters maybe didn't have bigger games. But he got there in the end. Not that it's the be-all and end-all, but it's just nice for him to get that recognition. Now, CB, we've had a...
He went into disposal efficiency of 70%. So he wasn't... Some people say he needs to clean up his ball use, but not bad.
No, he does need to clean up his ball use. That is, he might have been at 70% the weekend, but he's had some really low DE weeks. He needs to clean it up. But again, I'm not upset by that because he pulls the trigger. He tries to make the kick. It will work out. It'll work itself out over time because he's a decent disposal.
Yeah.
I just think it's come up. He's come up against an easier opposition. I mean, against Geelong, he had 62%. The harder game, better opposition. Lesser opposition improves by 10%. So probably goes to
probably about right. Yeah. Now, CB, a lot of people in chat are asking, we'll maybe get a round table view on this one. A lot of people are asking about everyone's thoughts on Tyler Sonsi. I guess it's maybe a multi-layered question. It's obviously the thoughts on the game, the thoughts on him being subbed and maybe his reaction about being subbed, and then where to from here.
Yeah, well, first things first, he was subbed out because he was injured.
No,
he wasn't on the injury report.
No, it was tactical. I think
the absent was injury, but I'm not sure if it was actual injury.
Yeah. Well, I'm only going to go by what the app said. And it said, if you're subbed out because you've injured, I mean, end of the day, the kid's playing for his career. Literally, I think he's playing for his career. And if he's been taken out with six rounds to go with an injury, I could imagine he would be a bit upset. So I feel if he is injured, I feel for him. But he's had his opportunities as well. And I don't think he's taken the bull by the horns. We haven't helped him. We've discussed this ad nauseum on this show about playing him out of position. But there are some attributes in there that EJ will probably talk about at some stage that may work against him.
You going next, EJ? Or do you want to bring it home? Okay, Grok? You
go. No, I don't mind.
Yeah, I think it's disappointing. RFC just said, it was changed to tactical in the app. And yet you could tell he wasn't happy about it. I think he knows that there was an interview at VFL level maybe 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, where we had a win and they interviewed him and they asked him about playing on next year and a contract. And he did not seem confident at all. He seemed really uncomfortable and disappointed. So I reckon he's going to be one of the changes that we make at the end of the year. I mean, looking at the players that we've got coming through, plus the draft, if we do bring on, a couple of midfielders, whether it be Grillage or Lindsay or any of these types, Dyson Sharp if he falls, or Rodriguez, I think it spells the end for Tyler. And I think he knows that. And obviously him being subbed off in that game, I think he knows that just about rubber stamps his time at the club. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's back to VFL again next week, especially after Steely Green's game, who had a ripper in the VFL. It just doesn't look good for Tyler. And it just hasn't worked out for him. Hasn't clicked for whatever reason, whether it be being played out of position, attitude, work rate. I just think it's at the point now where it's best for all parties if we just separate it, because you don't want him playing the mental health card. I don't think he wants to go through another 12 months of what he's been through this year with a one-year contract. Yeah. I just think it's poor for him.
I think he'll get picked up, though. I think someone will take a risk, a punt on him.
Yeah, I think it's a slightly different situation to the Cumberland situation. Look, first of all, I was actually happy to see him upset, because it shows that he cares. So that's, for me, that's a good thing. I'm not happy that he was upset, but in a funny way, to see him upset gave me good feelings, because he's really trying. He doesn't want to fail, but he looks really tentative at AFL level where he doesn't at VFL level. I think the confidence has been taken out of him, and I think I was actually going, I went on to Wheelow and I went, his stats have regressed year on year from the first year. That first nine games he played in 2022, there was some really good stuff in there. His stats have gone backwards, backwards, backwards. And I know one of the knocks on him is he's not physical enough. And there was one incident in particular on the weekend where there was a ball to be contested. He started to bend down to contest the ball, saw an opponent coming, rose back up to his height and bumped. That, for me, I think an act like that, and it's not a one-off act, but the one that was so stark because he'd actually started to bend down, I think stuff like that is what will be talked about in the office with the coaches as not being acceptable. And I think that area is the main reason why at the end of the year it probably ends.
Yeah. If you could add that part to his game, it might do his confidence some good. Like, you know, I was a really big advocate of thinking that we could unlock his potential by playing him in the right spot. But I think it's been equal parts his fault and equal parts the club's fault. Because, yeah, he's got to make the most of his chances and hasn't. Whereas, you know, someone like Jack Ross has been played in a different spot as well, but he's adapted a bit better and made the most of it. So I don't want to put full blame on the club, but I still would have liked to have seen how it would have gone just given the actual data that shows of the numbers he's producing at VFL level in that position. But we'll never see it. We just know we won't see it. I won't at all be surprised if he moves clubs and someone unlocks it. Similar to how Hawthorn have kind of unlocked a bit of troll to get the most out of him, out of the clubs he's played at. I can see something similar happen to Bisonzi.
I think with Tyler, he'd be much better suited to a side that plays controlled tempo football with the kicking, where he doesn't have to go hard. They can maintain possession and he doesn't have to compete for loose balls. Because he's a solid kick. He presents well. It's just the physical side of the game, whether it be a mental thing or he's not big enough, whatever the case may be. But whenever it's a tough game, he just seems to vanish. When there's space, he's really good. When there's time, he's good. It's just, yeah, when it's a contest. Someone like Geelong, who plays that short kicking style to maintain possession and work their way up, Hawthorn at times, I think they could do something with him, but I'd say for probably 14 or 15 sides in the comp, yeah, probably not.
Well, there you go, Hawthorn and Geelong, and you've got Myers and you've got D'Ambrosio, not exactly physical players, right? His tank numbers have become pretty good this year. If he's not willing to be that, to put the body on the line, maybe he plays outside, and if it's not high half forward, maybe it's wing and he's used as a connector and someone can unlock it. But I don't think it's going to happen at our club.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it, does it? It feels like the ship may have sailed, unfortunately, but we'll see what happens this week in terms of selection. The last ones I want to point out just quickly, just more for some praise, is the work of Taranto, Hopper, and even Presti. I thought they were pretty solid and pretty well performed throughout the whole game. And obviously Taranto kicked a goal to get us, I think, back to level. And then Hopper with that ridiculous banana goal to put us in front was actually really good reward for their effort. And I know that we talk a lot about not putting different players in at the centre bounce, but they were still getting the job done at an okay level when the game was on. So I think they had some pretty good games between the three of them.
Did you say Prestia? Don't you mean Hulk Meatball?
Oh, he had every right to be pissed off at that as well. He was absolutely filthy. I actually thought he was going to give away 50.
Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't show you that dissent's gone out the window, then nothing else will.
That was a spray Richard'd be proud of.
Yeah, that was as clear-cut as you're likely to see.
Nank was also awesome and the highest rated player on the ground. But my special mention goes to the sub, Trisaius. I thought he was fantastic when he came on.
I mean, 9 disposals and 140-odd metres gained in a quarter. That's what you call making the most of your chances. Surely he's got to play full minutes next week. Well, this week, sorry.
Yeah.
That was an impressive quarter, CB.
It was. I'm messing around. I'm trying to get something going on my background and it just, this stupid Mac, it will not let me do it. And it'd be so funny if I could get it, but it's just not.
I've been paying attention. Something, tradesman, something, tools. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, we'll move on very quickly.
Let me do it.
We'll bring up this, our favourite graph, the old North Melbourne death ride chart. We haven't brought this one up for a while, but they've racked up 3 losses in a row for us, which is nice. The D's, you know, got the return leg under control for us. So 12 losses for the Kangaroos, still 16th and still pick 3. And it's getting more and more likely, I think, that we're going to end up with a top 5 or 6 pick at a minimum. We need St Kilda to get another win to push up above or to get a bit further ahead. Obviously, the D's pushed ahead with that win. Sydney pushed ahead. Port Adelaide pushed ahead, and now we're in a spot that we can potentially jump them if we win this week, which would be quite remarkable.
The concern is Essendon are that big of spuds that they might cost us a pick.
You reckon they could cost us? And Tristan Sherry after 3 weeks as well. I'm sure they'll appeal it, but if it stays at 3 weeks, that I think gets St Kilda that win against them. Because Sherry's he's a gun.
Yeah.
So this trade still feels good for us.
I think the Saints have been playing all right. Like, I thought they were really good against Sydney. Like, they're going as well as you can for a 4-win team or a 5-win team or whatever it is.
Yeah, they definitely are.
They're a Jekyll and Hyde team, though, St Kilda. Like, their good is really good. Their bad is horrendous. Like, it's just that gulf is insane.
But, yeah, that's tracking well for us. And, EJ, are you prepared and ready to go? Am I all right to roll this?
Yeah, go on.
All right, now it's time for... Where's me shit? I've lost the... Oh, here we are.
Oh, man. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Absolutely seamless, Michaels.
Yeah, I know.
Well, special mention this week, and I'm going to out his 5 votes for the vote show, unfortunately.
Oh, here we go.
Our old mate up top here, Captain Blood 17, has given the 250 gamer Nick Vlosten, right, full votes, 5 votes this week. Stuff it, he said, it's his 250th, blah, blah, blah. Now, if you're gonna break protocol and not give the votes to the best player on the ground, and if you're giving votes to a player that's played 250 games for your club, is there any chance you could spell his name right?
Come on, man.
I just want you to know, we didn't get Shay or Shai Bolton's name right for 7 years on this show. So,
speak for yourself. My name's not T71.
That's my defense.
But the come on, man, this week, in going onto the ladder, is Brad Scott. Like, and it goes back to, right, what we spoke about earlier on. You're playing against Richmond. You're not playing against Geelong or against Adelaide and trying to stop yourself from losing by 100 points. You're playing against Richmond. Your season's screwed. Your team learns nothing by playing 2 or 3 behind the ball. Are you that scared after one quarter of football where your defenders were intercepting us at will that you had to stuff up a perfectly good game of football and turn it into the worst game I've seen in over 20 years by putting 2 or 3 players behind the ball? We talk about this being an entertainment industry. Brad Scott, you're a disgrace.
Come on, man.
I think that's fair enough. I mean, yeah, what right do you have flooding against the second bottom side that's got little to no forwards? It just made no sense whatsoever.
It was almost a career saving thing. Like, he was trying not to lose his job, and he's probably gone and done it by doing that and taking away any offensive capabilities. He's just, yeah, he's shat the bed royally.
Yeah, it wasn't his finest work, was it? But yeah, there you go. That is, come on, man. I think that's a good addition. I think that's a pretty handy addition.
I'm surprised it wasn't about the AFL and the discrepancy between threatening players and calling them slurs.
Look, they're already on the ladder. for the Rioli thing as it is. I didn't want to double up, but yeah, I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, who was the guy up at the Gold Coast who self-reported after one day and got a 6-week suspension? Graham waits a week to self-report and gets a 4-week suspension, and someone else threatens to have someone taken out and gets a 1-week suspension. Yep, absolutely.
The game he was already missing.
Completely. Yeah, he's injured, was not going to play anyway.
He was already missing the game.
Completely valid, Grok. Completely valid.
The game's never been better, you negative Nancys.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh, I heard that.
Yeah, a little tinny. I don't have any Cody Walker updates as such. I'm not sure if anyone else here does, but I'm enjoying Carlton's demise because I feel like that helps our chances greatly. They are self-imploding right before our eyes. It's actually almost a shame that he doesn't have to pick this year because I think we'd be an even greater chance. They kind of get an off-season to fix themselves potentially.
Punt Road Local. Can you put in Punt Road Local?
Yes. I forgot this.
I was at the dinner table when this news report came up yesterday and I looked and I said, current West Coast Eagles player. And my wife's looked at me, she's gone, what do you mean? I said, well, no one gives a shit about West Coast in Victoria. So they have to label a Richmond tag in there to get their story. What absolute bullshit was that?
That's pretty bad. I didn't see that. That's horrible.
Can you just add that straight to the ladder and push Brad Scott down one and put that in there, please, for next year?
We can update that. Who was it? Channel 7, so 7 News. Great pick up there, Punt Road Local.
Great shout, Punt Road Local. Great shout. Yeah,
thank you.
That is horrible. Horrible. Yeah, wow, that's really bad. Yeah, I think Blues fans should start to feel a bit nervous about it as well. I think they should. They're in a world of hurt. But anyway, enough about them. We'll crack on to there's a VFL update that we'll go through now quickly. Now, I didn't get a chance to watch the VFL game. I'm not sure if anyone else did, but we did go down to the Southport Sharks by 28 points. What was, I guess, frustrating is we did have a 30-point lead at one stage in the first half, and then they overrun us. And I know we had a lot of players missing due to various different call-ups and other games and whatever else was happening. But, yeah, never nice when you drop a 30-point margin. In terms of AFL-listed players who played well, I'm going by stat numbers only. Jacob Blight, 25 disposals, 16 marks. I mean, that's yet again another game he's played at the VFL where he's had massive numbers. Caleb Smith, 22 touches, 3 marks, 1 clearance. Noel Bolter, 18 disposals, 6 marks. Hayes Brown, 17 disposals, 2 marks, 1 tackle, 33 hitouts, 10 clearances. Steely Green, 3 goals, which was awesome, 12 disposals, 3 marks, 6 tackles, 2 clearances. They're pretty good numbers as well, to be honest. And Josh Gibkiss had 7 disposals, 2 marks, and that was about it. So I'm not too sure what Gibkiss's game was like in total, but the one I want to talk about is probably Hayes Brown. I'm not saying to drop names. I don't think I'm going down that path, but I think at some point it would be worth having a dabble and chucking him in there to be the backup ruck instead of Sims, play Hayes Brown and Nank. I think his form, line and body of work, if we want to use that phrase again, has been pretty strong for the last month.
He's not ready.
But neither is Sims. What does it matter? We're playing someone who's less experienced and smaller in Sims, so why not give him a go?
I'm not saying ability-wise, I would have Sims in ahead of him.
To be fair, he can't.
Sims
he
is touching it 7 times a game. It can't go much worse.
His debut can't be as bad as Samson Ryan's against the Dogs. Like,
That shouldn't have happened.
You've just triggered me. Why'd you do that?
should we talk about the injury report?
I'd forgotten he was on the list.
The injury report's interesting because there's
2 more years too.
There's blokes on there that are basically, we're saying, 6 to 8 weeks, but that's the season. Campbell Graves' season's done.
VFL, though, if they're playing VFL, are a few weeks behind us, or AFL, and they could play finals too. So that's where I think Gray one comes into play.
Is Campbell Gray, but there's also Samson Ryan's just he's had a 12-week, 6-foot injury.
He's just TBC. They're just trying to work through that, I guess.
So there's a few more boys, I reckon, that a season done that we haven't, I don't know, not convinced I'll get back.
The one I'm getting a little bit concerned about at the risk of triggering anyone else is the Smiley scenario and how that's playing out. I don't know. It just, that write-up was not a glowing report of how that's tracking.
No. There's definitely some more.
I know we can't say much more. Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have mentioned that name. But what was interesting is, and we'll probably loop this into the ins and outs for the game this week against West Coast, Armstrong and Elgar, my man, are now available. So good to hear that the injury wasn't as bad for Jasper. And obviously Harry's been out for, what is it now, 14 weeks, whatever it might be. The way the report reads, the way Uzay spoke, the way Serple spoke, because there's no VFL this weekend, it legitimately sounded like that those two are a chance and available for selection in the AFL. Jasper, I would be okay with doing because it's only been a short stint and it's not a soft tissue injury. What do we think about Harry Armstrong? Now, the only obvious move would be Cozzy out, Armstrong in, if they were going to do it. I'm in the no camp, but if they think that he's going to give more than Cozzy, it sounds like they're tempted. Like, reading between the lines, it sounds like it's a legitimate consideration.
Can I just say, Cozzy, we know he had two horrendous brain snaps, right? However, he actually competed really, really well and took some good marks.
He busted his ass to break a lot of packs open too.
Correct. I would keep him in. He actually did a lot right. It's just the two things he did wrong, like that drop mark and that goal, like really bad. But everyone else around, he was really, he was serviceable.
And 50% of that goes on Sims not being able to put the ball on his foot too.
If Sims was, let's say, Seth Campbell, it was a goal.
Yeah, it was two Gumbies trying to be coordinated at the same time. It was bound to go wrong.
I thought I was watching Electric Boogaloo 2 from 1986, mate. what he was trying to do there.
To be fair, though, that's also the Richmond of the Dynasty era with the amount of goals we left on the board and kicked through unselfishness. But
that had prime Ty Vickery all over it.
Oh, Luke McGuan.
McGunn.
Yeah. But Armstrong for me, like with our track record of bringing players in off long layoffs, absolutely no way.
All I'm saying is brace yourself, folks, because reading the tea leaves, I reckon he's a chance. I'm not saying I agree with it. But the wording and the language around all of this, I think is a genuine sneaky chance that he plays.
The interesting one for me this week is Blight. Obviously, he's one game off playing to trigger the extension for the contract.
Hearing a lot about this too.
And back to WA, does he play to audition for West Coast? Because he had a ripper game in the VFL as well. Like, that's going to be the fascinating watch this week. Do you reward the form and trigger the extension, or do you just leave him because you think he's gone? It's
his omission.
How much is that tiger in the window?
that omission of Jacob Blight this weekend absolutely blew my mind because he had a good game. He actually had a good game. I thought the week previously you had 17 disposals, 100% DE. You know, for how often the ball come in there. And then we dropped him for Kaczynski to play. It just, shit just didn't make sense to me, particularly when he's got that one game for the trigger thing. So I don't know. That was a strange one. That was a really strange
one. There's a bit more going on behind the scenes in that one too, just quietly. Because pound for pound, like, you're picking Blight to play. If we're talking about playing that specific role, you're picking Blight to do it ahead of Cozzy, right? That would just make sense. And that's no knock on Cozzy. It's just that Blight is a better player than what Cozzy is. But, yeah, I think, for this week, if it's me, I'm letting Cozzy have a second crack at it. We know it's makeshift. We know it's not permanent. So there's no need to be up in arms about it. And as long as he just keeps competing, if this is on the premise they're not prepared to play Blight and on the assumption that we shouldn't play Armstrong, although I feel like we might.
I'm in the Jones Racing camp here. Where he says, a little bit further up, he says, we've got to play Blight for one more game to trigger the extension, right? Yeah. Because then we hold a little bit of power. Now, he's not going to earn us a great haul, but any draft points, you know, like a third rounder or something like that, could be useful in other transactions. So I would give him one more game to trigger that extension.
Yeah, we've only got two picks in the draft, which is the first two rounders. We need to get another pick in minimum.
Yeah.
completely off topic. Sophie in chat, can you do us a favor? Can you shoot us a message on if you're on X or Instagram, please? I would like to ask you a few things. That would be wonderful. Thank you, sir. But yeah, we a few mates and I discussed that same thing, EJ. Like, are we better off here to pull the trigger to gain currency, as minimal as it might be? I'm with you, CB. Something doesn't add up quite there, but we'll keep rolling into the West Coast game. It's a chance to get back-to-back wins for the first time in a long time. In terms of the changes, there was no injuries, thank God. Are there any forced changes that you would make? Like, is Sonzi genuinely on the chopping block? Would you swap him for Elgar? Does Steely Green come in? Or do we want to see more of that performance at VFL level before you bring him back in? CB, we'll go around the room. Do you have any forced changes you would bring in? Or are you going unchanged?
Trezise comes in.
Full-time, good call.
You know what? If he's not injured, Sonzi either sub or it's Steely. But I think maybe Sons probably goes to sub. I'll say possibly no change.
EJ?
Yeah, Trezise in, Sonzi sub or out. That's where I'm at as well.
Grok?
Sonzi out for me, Elgar in. I think Elgar in. We need a little bit more class and creativity up forward, I think. Yeah.
I think Jasper can definitely come in. Like I said, I'm not as deterred by that one being a non-soft tissue. Trezise has to come in for that full game. I agree wholeheartedly. And it just, yeah, I mean, who would you have a sub? So let's say that we've put Trezise in full time, and let's say the swap was Sonzi for Jasper. Who would you then make sub? Would you go Jasper sub, or would you look somewhere different?
If Jasper does come in, it'll likely be one of Trezise, Jasper, or Morris. The thing with Morris is I want him to play full games. I want him to get up in and around the middle. I think we look so much better when he's up doing his thing. But yeah, it's going to be tough.
So in terms of how this game's going to be won or lost, CB, I mean, it's another week we can kind of be talking about the fact that we are a possibility to be in this game to win it. There's no hiding that West Coast are going to treat this like their grand final. They'll definitely identify this as a game that they're a chance to win to obviously please their supporters and their players as well, much like we will. What do you see us doing? How do you see it panning out? What's your take on the game? How can we get the job done over in Perth?
Well, the one thing we do know is McWalter won't play the shit truck game plan that Brad Scott went with, because so it's going to be a shootout, because effectively they're trying to teach West Coast kids how to win as well. So I think it's going to be an absolute crapshoot through the middle. I think it's going to be a turnover fest, and I think it's going to be whoever can capitalise on turnover scores will probably win the game. That's what I think. And the thing is, I'm trying to think, does Tim Kelly come back in for them?
Well, they did that last time, didn't they, against us? They bought Tim Kelly. Was that one of his first games back?
They played him forward, and he played really well.
And remembering last time, too, they played Liam Ryan in the midfield as well against us. That was the first time they kind of rolled that out. I'm not sure if they've done that since. I haven't really tracked many more of their games, Grok. But what do we have to do to win this game? Like, looking at some of the players, I look at their back line, and, I mean, they've got Ginby, Duggan, Baker, but they're kind of, I mean, Baker and Duggan are obviously on the smaller side. McCarthy's not blessed with height. It kind of feels like it could be a game where we may be able to potentially stretch them in defence, similar like what we're trying to do against Essendon.
Yeah, West Coast, they play a lot down the wing. They generally don't go too much through the midfield, which will definitely help. But yeah, again, it's just the midfield. They bullied us last time we played them through the midfield. It was just we were lucky. Liam Ryan through the midfield, as you mentioned, last time we played, was absolutely dynamite. Like, he carved us through the midfield like a hot knife through butter. So I think we need to be mindful of that. And there's no doubt that Uze and the match committee and the coaching staff will have made notes from that and maybe expected a little bit more this weekend. I think Nank definitely needs a big game. their rucks, although they're not great, they do rotate really well forward. So, again, Nank needs to really be watchful and drift down back. And it's just the midfield battle too, as long as we can compete. And the one thing I would really like is Mansell to do a repeat from Martin on that dog Jimby. Take him out of the game. Like, just that's your thing. Just stick to him. Be like, same as he did on with Tom Stewart. Just stick on him, niggle him, get stuck into him.
EJ, what's your thoughts on the game? We've got Harley Reid potentially auditioning. He's actually starting to play okay. He got a bit lippy on the weekend, Horn Francis. He doesn't mind a bit of a stoush on field.
Went back home to your mum.
Yeah, bold call.
After 1 year.
Oh, that was awesome. Look, I actually think we're going to struggle. This is their grand final, I think. This is their chance to get another win for the season. They're at home. Our forwards are young. I think that's my argument for keeping Kaczynski in the side, is we really need that mature body down there if we're to have any chance, because West Coast have a mobile defence and can move the ball well out of the back line. And if we've got too many young giraffes down there, I know Fall gives his best and competes, but Baker and a Duggan, they're going to run rings around him. Ditto Sims. So that's the area of concern for me, is West Coast developing drive off half back.
And that's, I guess, where the importance of Mansell, Seth Campbell, Morris, Houghton and whatnot come into play, trying to make sure that they are accountable for whoever they're on down there. Because I think, tall-wise, they've got Harry Edwards down there. I'm not sure if they're going to make changes, of course, but he's 200 centimetres. He's played 53 games. Then there was Rhett Bazo, he's played 22 games. He's 195 centimetres. So they're probably their two tallest down there. So if Cozzy can occupy one, and obviously Jonty Fall's going to get one as well, then maybe someone like Sims could potentially become a bit more of a threat down there, CB, and maybe we've got to try and identify the mismatch, I guess, and try and get to it as soon as we can.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just a pity we didn't have Lafau got injured, because Lafau is that medium quick, yeah, or even Jacob Bauer. It's just a pity when those medium-sized forwards, just quick, isn't there. And I just... We're going to have to go with Sims again, unfortunately. And I say that in the fact that I would like to see Sims get a few games in the resis, and I wish we had someone to bring up. Or even if Liam Fawcett hadn't got injured, he would have been, you know what
I mean? Yeah.
But it's beggars and choosers stuff. So Sims gets the nod and he gets another game of experience in and learnings. So it's just the hand we're dealt. I mean, yeah.
How do we feel going up against their midfield that are a bit younger and have a bit more spring in their step than our guys?
Send Ross to Reid.
Straight off the bat, no messing around?
Just do it. Piss him off.
100%.
K-Mac on the wing, on a big ground, he will do some damage with his running power.
I mean, you also got to think about what an occasion it could potentially be for McIntosh as well, playing probably could even be his last game in front of, obviously, his family in his home state. Like, there's going to be that sort of emotion for K-Mac, which is why people were saying drop McIntosh. There is no way the club's going to drop McIntosh for a trip to Perth. It's from what I've heard from a few people back in WA, they set themselves for the game against us last time, obviously, with Mini. They really bookmarked it. They wanted that win. And obviously, we stole it. At the end, we were just better when it counted. I think West Coast were probably better in terms of over the whole course of the whole game last time, but we just cleared it up in the last 5 or 6 minutes to really take hold. They were filthy after that match. They said, obviously, they knew it was a double-up game and they are really, really hungry for it. So they're going to come out and be really physical and really want to put the hurt on us, so to speak, for Mini. So... yeah, it's going to be – our mids are going to have to really step up. They're going to have to work really hard defensively with the run, especially if Liam Ryan goes through there. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting.
The other one too, though, no, Waterman at full forward is massive for us.
Yeah, he tortures us, doesn't he? So yeah. Looking at their forwards, they've got Jobe Shanahan, which will be his third game. He looks obviously a really good prospect. Bailey Williams, Jack Hutchinson, then they've got Cripps and Owies and Brockman who will be down there as well. And obviously if Liam Ryan plays, he'll be floating in and around those areas as well. I suppose we've got to back in Miller and Young to do another stand-up job again, don't we, EJ? And I think when you go to your Broads, your Browns, your Vlostons and whatnot, I feel like we've got good enough coverage in that part of the ground to be able to do a satisfactory job to hopefully give us a chance to hold their score so we can try and get the win.
Yeah, if we can restrict supply, we can go okay. But if we can't stop the ball coming in, it doesn't matter how good our backs play. Well, we've seen that numerous times through the season. So they are reasonably mobile. So Shorty will actually have to maybe even do some defensive work on the weekend. I think the Eagles have been going pretty well overall.
Their start against Port was impressive.
Yep.
It was very good.
So, yeah.
Look, I guess for us, like always, though, it's how are we going to score? I think we do well enough to stop teams from scoring in bulk for the most part. It's how do we generate enough ball movement or positive ball movement to score ourselves?
I'll be amazed if we didn't take it on through the middle where we can. Yeah. I'll be amazed.
If they don't put numbers behind the ball like what Scott did, there's no excuse to not have a crack up the middle and to try and run and gun like we were doing in the first quarter against Essendon.
Absolutely. And don't underestimate the loss that Graham's been for them. Graham's last 6 or 7 weeks for the Eagles has been absolutely fantastic. We know what he did for us with his defensive acts, but his gut running for the Eagles through the midfield and even his pressure acts and tackles, that's going to be a big blow for them, especially with the form that Prestia and Taranto have been in the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Cool.
That's going to really hurt them, and it's going to make some of their mid a lot more accountable. Like Harley Reid, he's not going to be able to just sag off now because you've got the defensive acts with Baker and Graham. Obviously, Baker's been playing a bit more forward, but no Graham. Harley's going to have to pull his finger out a little bit and offer a bit more defensively.
And just confirming, that's ex Richmond Premiership player Graham. Yeah. As reported by Channel 7.
Yeah, absolutely. I also saw some comments on chat saying, oh, if West Coast are viewing this as a grand final, you know, that's poor from them. You got to think with how poor they've been over the last 4 or 5 years, a win that they can take that's, a kill that's fresh that they can take right now is going to do them a world of good, especially with the younger kids. Don't underestimate the power of a win. Like us on the weekend, obviously, against Essendon, that would have done wonders for the younger kids.
And they're still fighting to get off the bottom of the ladder. I've got no doubt that every club in the competition thought it was just a matter of us finishing last and that was it with the turnover, the list and so on and so forth. So the fact that we're a few games clear of them, that would be eating them up massively. And that's not somewhere they expected to be. I would hazard a guess that they thought they were a little bit further ahead in their development cycle than what they're showing right now. So they will be desperate to show their supporters something and to get 4 points to give themselves a live chance not to finish last. But yeah, then it's on us to respond.
Morgan Ashley. How dare you?
Morgan Ashley. Goodness me.
Jeez.
It's alive.
That hurt. That actually hurt.
Hi, Morgs.
But with that all being said and done, folks, what's everyone's predictions, including margin? We might see a bit of a split here. We might see some West Coast, some Richmond. Hopefully. I mean, it can't be a worse game than last week, I wouldn't have thought. CB, what's your prediction for this one?
Taj Houghton, 75% game time.
75? Okay, I'll take that, yep.
14 possessions, 2 goals. Tigers by 5 points.
Tigers by five. Nice. EJ?
Tash Houghton, three goals. Rising star nomination.
Oh, me too.
But Eagles by 23.
Oh, jeez, you've gone the rising star nom. My gosh. Will Shift to be watching this game, though? You might not even see it. Someone made a good point before that maybe trainer's grandfather got in the year of Shifter Sheen to get him the nomination to play the part. Grok?
I'm going to be different. You guys have gone hot, and I'm going Jasper Alga, four goals. I reckon he'll be handy.
You've gone, the guy's not selected yet. I like this.
And four Harley Reid brain snaps. And Tigers by 21.
Jasper, Wayne Carey, Alga. Far out.
Oh, I like it. I'll say, geez, you put me under the pump now. The thing of a, do I go Harry Armstrong? Do I go real adventurous? No, I'll say Tash Houghton. I'll go 20 disposals, one goal, and I reckon the Tigers will get up by 15 points. It'll be the first time we'll get back-to-back wins and we'll leapfrog North at the end of the round. And
can we just go back to the original point at the start of the show on Uzo's coaching? Just think about this, guys. We're at going into round 19. If we hadn't have coughed up North Melbourne and GWS, we would have been sitting 14th on the ladder with six wins and with the possibility of having a seventh win. And we would have won, a third of our season if we didn't have if we win this weekend and didn't cough the other two up. So when you're critical of Uzo, just step back and think about that. We've actually performed pretty well.
Yeah, I thought Uzo responded really well after the Geelong game. I thought his tactics in the Geelong game were pretty poor, just the structure-wise and everything. But no, great bounce back this week.
I was about 2 meters away from Jasper after the game, and it took everything in my power not to either ask for a photo or a chat. I did very well to do neither.
Couldn't get him on the show?
No, well, he hasn't replied to my Instagram yet. So if you're watching Jasper, check your inbox.
Hey, Morgs.
Damien Hardwick.
In terms of a live call, there's a chance we can do a live call. What day? I don't even know what day we play.
Saturday night, 8:10.
Saturday night. Okay. Well, we can probably throw together a live of some type to chat about the game, so people don't have to listen to the West Coast Bias commentary. So we'll do something on that front too.
I thought it was
Vic Bias. Oh, well, it only happens down here, doesn't it? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, funny that. But no, thank you, gentlemen, for jumping on tonight. Appreciate your time. Good to have a four on for tonight. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. Make sure you get around us on all the socials. Make sure you let CB know about the spelling of Loston if you feel free to inbox him any suggestions going forward on that as well. And look, hopefully we can see a really good game on the weekend. And it can't be worse than the Essendon game. I'll be gobsmacked if it is. We just want to see some more positive ball movement. Speaking of ball movement, there's a video coming out tomorrow morning, I think it is. I've gone through and picked out a few different passages of play from the weekend just to show the 450 entries. So if you're keen on analysis stuff, have a look at that. It just sort of shows where we're maybe going wrong and what we could have done differently that could have netted us some more shots at goal. But have a wonderful night, folks.
I was going to say, you're a bit bold with your track record of putting foot in your mouth saying the game can't be as bad as the Essendon game.
How could it get worse? It would have to be like Brisbane torrential rain flooding.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, unless
Tash Houghton kicks three, there'll be a ball movement video. Don't worry about that.
And on that note, have a wonderful night, everybody. And until next time, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.